Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see him.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, the 11th of April, 2017. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is over. I hope you had a joyous time. I'm on my way back today from the feast, so this is pre-recorded, of course. And I'll be back home sometime late today. But first, before I get into the book of Micah, I want to remind everybody that Eurofolk Radio is offering the Hebrew Feast Days calendar according to Enoch's solar calendar, and each page depicts scenes from the Bible and from our Anglo-Saxon heritage. It's on very nice, beautiful, full-color paper, heavy gloss paper. Brother A. Bear of North Carolina put it together. If you would like a copy of this, click on the donate button at the top of the page and send us a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar. And please put your mailing address and the word calendar so we know what you're donating for when you send that message to us. And it's always a pleasure. I have mine, and it's very comprehensive. It has the Gregorian dates as well as the Hebrew dates. And it's going to be invaluable throughout the year. Well, we're coming down toward the end of the Minor Prophets. I'm going to be doing a couple of shows here on Micah. And Micah in the Hebrew is spelled M-I-Y-C-H-A-H. And it's number 4318 in your concordance. And it is the short form of Micaiah 43:20. And it means who is like Yah. And Micah tells the birthplace of Yeshua, Messiah, in verse 5, verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2. This is an exciting book. And Micah was prophesying in the same time frame as Yeshaya, that's Isaiah. So let's get right into this. I love these books of prophecy. Verse 1, you can reference part A of verse 1. You can reference 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 32 through 38. And 2 Chronicles 27, verses 1 through 7. Then part B of verse 1, you can reference 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. And 2 Chronicles 28, verses 1 through 27. And part C of verse 1, it's got a lot of references in it. You can reference 2 Kings 18 through 18:1, pardon me, through chapter 20, verse 21. And 2 Chronicles 29, 1 through chapter 32, verse 33. So there's your references. Let me get a hit of ice water and we'll have at it. The word of Yahweh that came to Micah, the Morasheth, that's 4183, in the days of Yotham, or Jotham, 3147, Akaz, 271, and Yechizkiah, that's Hezekiah, 3169, kings of Yehuda, which he saw as a seer, that's all one word, 2372, concerning Shomeron, 8111, and Yerushalayim, 3389. Now, Shomeron was Samaria, and it was the capital of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, after they split. And Yerushalayim remained under the purview of Yehuda and Binyamin. And this is Yahweh speaking through Micah. Verse 2. Hear, all you people, listen, O land and all that is in it. And let the Lord, 136, Yahweh, be witness against you. Now here, now see, Lord Yahweh is proper. It is a title and then the name. But here, right now, they have changed and put just Lord and removed the name of Yahweh. So I have reinserted the name Yahweh where it belongs. Let the Lord Yahweh be witness against you, Yahweh from his holy temple. Verse 3, because, behold, Yahweh comes forth from his place and will come down and tread, 1869, upon the high places of the land. High places is 1116. Those are the places of pagan worship. He's going to trample them. So that's an act of his anger, which he is going to play out on these places where they're worshiping these idols. That was always the hot button that got Yahweh upset. We have always, as a people, had trouble with that. Now I need to get another little drink of water to clear the pipes here. Verse 4. And the mountains shall be melted, 4549, under him. And the valleys shall be cleft asunder, 1234, as wax, 1749, before the fire, as waters poured down, 5064, a steep slope, 4174. Verse 5. The transgression, 6588, of Jacob, that means Israel, 3290, is all this. And for the sins, 2403, of the house of Israel, what is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Shomeron? That's the pagan worship going on in Samaria. And what are the high places of Yehuda? Are they not Yerushalayim? Okay. The temple worship had become polluted. And they had high places that they'd built in Jerusalem to worship idols. Verse 6. Therefore I will make Shomeron as a heap, 5856, that's a heap of stones of the field, the stones of the field. You just pile them up in a heap. It's going to wreck it. As plantings, 4302, of a vineyard, 3754. And I will pour down the stones of it into the valley, and I will uncover the foundations of it. He's going to destroy it to the very foundations. Verse 7. And all the carved idols, 6456, of it shall be beaten to pieces, that's one word, 3807, and all the hires of the harlots, 868, of it shall be burned with the fire. And all the idols, 6091, of it I will lay, 7760, desolate, 8077, because she gathered, 6908, they're calling it, Shomeron, the tribe of Israel, as a woman, because she gathered from the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. Speaking of harlotry with foreign gods. Now, that ends Yahweh speaking, and here we go, and Micah is speaking to the people, and he's yelling at them. Verse 8, therefore I will wail and howl. I will go barefoot and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and mourning as the daughters of ostriches. Because they make a very mourning sound when the ostriches sound. Verse 9, because her wound, 4347, is incurable. But because it has come into Yehuda, he is reached to the gate of my people, to Yerushalayim. This mourning, this wound, has reached, and that the wound was the idol worship. Verse 10. Do not declare at Gath, 1661, do not weep at all in Beth Leafra, roll yourselves, 6428, in the dust. That's a sign of mourning, being covered with dust. And verse 11, pass away, you inhabitant of Shafir, 8208, and that's a place in Philistia, having nakedness that is shame, 1322, the inhabitants of Sa'anan, 6630, did not come forth in the wailing, 4553, of Beth Ha'etzel, 1018. He shall take away from you his standing ground. 5979, that's a ground that he stands on. So the he is speaking of Yahweh, okay? Yahweh's going to remove himself. And that signals doom, because the only thing that kept those cities together was Yahweh's presence, and he's going to leave. He's going to abandon them. Verse 12, for the inhabitant of Maroth, 4796, longed for good, but calamity came down from Yahweh to the gate of Yerushalayim. Verse 13, O you inhabitant of Lachish, harness the chariot to the swift steed. She is the beginning of sin to the inhabitant of Zion, because the transgressions of Israel were found in you, idols. Verse 14. Therefore you shall give presents, 7964, to Moresheth Goth, 4182. Now that was Micah's birthplace. The houses of Achzib, 392. That's a place in the lowlands of the territory of Yehuda. Shall be a deceitful stream, 391, to the kings of Israel. Now, 392, Achzib, means deceit. So the deceitful stream to the kings of Israel means unreliable water source. I mean, you're dying of thirst and you go there to get a drink and it's not there. So that's a word play. 392 and 391 are a word play in that verse. I need a little more water. Verse 15. Yet I will bring an heir to you, a possessor. Okay, 3423. O inhabitant of Maresha, 4762. He shall come to Adullam, 5724. The glory of Israel. Verse 16. These are pagan practices of mourning, and he's mocking them with this. Make yourself bald, 7139, and shear yourself, 1494, for your dainty children. Enlarge your baldness, 7144, as the eagle. For they have gone into captivity from you. And Micah was not real popular with these people too, because he really laid it on them. Chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and do evil upon their beds. 4904. When they're laying there plotting, when they're supposed to be sleeping, they're figuring out evil schemes. When morning dawns, they do it because it is in the power of their hand. So they plot at night and do the evil during the day. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 2, they covet fields and take violent possession of them, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his property. They were taking things by extortion that were inheritance, the inheritance that's never to be transferred from people of Israel. They were taking it anyway. Like the government would take your farm today. Oh, we want to build a state park there. And then all of a sudden, there's not going to be a state park there. Some big corporation is going to build a bunch of condos. Wonder how that happened. Verse 3, therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, against this clan, 4940, do I devise a calamity from which you shall not remove 4185. You're next. 6677. Neither shall you walk haughtily. 7317. That's Roma. Because this is a time of calamity. So, verse 4. In that day, one shall take up a parable against you and wail with a doleful wailing and say, we are utterly ruined. The portion of my people has been changed. How it is taken away from me. Our fields are given to those who turn away. And that those who turn away is 7728, and that means the unfaithful. They're taking away the fields of the righteous and giving them to those that are unrighteous. Well, what are they doing today? They're taking away the rights of the righteous, God-fearing people and giving it to the queers and the Muslims and whatever else they're giving them free everything. But they're taking away the rights of the righteous Christian people that want to obey. I mean, this transgender business, North Carolina is about to vote to repeal the transgender bathroom law that says there are no such thing as transgender bathrooms. Whatever sex you were born with, that's what the bathroom you will use. Well, they're about to put in transgender bathrooms. They're about to remove the prohibition. That's sick. They're just pushing and pushing and pushing this queer business all the time. Verse 5, therefore you shall have none that cast a lot cord in the congregation of Yahweh. And that a lot cord is kabel. That's a line for measuring used to establish ownership of land, like a measuring line. Okay. Verse 6, do not talk, they talk, they shall not talk to them, or shame shall not depart from us. Okay, that's old discourse. In other words, that's figurative as referring to the prophets as prophesying. In other words, don't prophesy, we don't want to hear it. We want to do what we want to do. Verse 7. O you named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of Yahweh shortened? 7114. That's reached the limit of patience. Are these his actions? 4611. Do not my words do good to him that walks in uprightness? Verse 8. Even yesterday, my people rose up as a hated enemy. You pull off, 6584, the rich robe, 145, from off the garments of those that pass by securely. That's unsuspecting, peaceful people. As those turned away from war, like they were robbing people. Passers-by. Verse 9. You have cast out the women of my people from their dainty houses. From their children you have taken away my glory forever. This is Yahweh speaking. Verse 10, arise and depart, for this is not a resting place. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy you with a sickening destruction. Verse 11, If a man walking in the spirit of falsehood, 8267, lies, 3576, saying, I will speak in favor of wine and strong drink, and that means as a preacher at preaching, he shall be the speaker of this people. False pastors leading people to drunkenness. Verse 12. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make great noise, 1949, because of Adami. That means as a multitude of the race of Adam. Verse 13. One who breaks through, 6555, has come before them. They have broken through and have passed through the gate and have gone out through it, and their king passes before them, Yahweh as their head, 7218. Now this verse, the one who breaks through is possibly the Messiah. That's quite possibly a messianic verse. All right, now we have book 3 of Micah. Verse 1. And I said, hear, please, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, do you not know what is right? Verse 2. You hate good and love evil. You take off their skin from upon them and their flesh from upon their bones. They're stripping people of all their possessions, just stripping the skin and taking everything off of them. They're all awful. Verse 3. Now this is all figurative. This is not literal. You eat the flesh of my people and strip off their skin from upon them, and they break their bones and spread them out as for the cooking pot and as flesh in the midst of the cauldron. They're not committing cannibalism. That's a figurative usage of that. Verse 4. Then they shall cry to Yahweh, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time, as they have done evil in their deeds. So they're being cruel to their own people and then expect Yahweh to bless them. No, that's not going to happen. I wonder why that water was so cold. There's a big chunk of ice in it. Thus says Yahweh concerning the prophets, these are false prophets, that make my people err, 8582, who are biting, 5391, with their teeth while crying peace. In other words, they're biting off with usury, because that's what usury, the word for usury means, is a biting off of a portion. And he that puts nothing into their mouths, they prepare war against him. All right, look what's going on today. Any country that opposes international banking and has their own bank, war is prepared against them. That's what's happened. They have come down on every country that doesn't want their Jew-run bank. And they're still doing it. Verse 6. Therefore it shall be night to you, that you shall not see a vision, and it shall be dark to you, that you shall not divine. To practice divination is a forbidden pagan practice. And the sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be dark upon them. They're gonna, being dark is a lack of, it's kadar, as a lack of revelation from Yahweh. In other words, they're gonna be fake, like they are today. Verse 7. Then the seers, those are people that see visions, 2, 3, 7, 4, shall be ashamed, and the diviners humiliated, 2, 6, 5, 9. Yea, they shall all cover their mustache. That's put their hand over their mouth in shame. That was a practice back then. For no answer of Elohim. And that's why. Verse 8. This is Micah speaking. But I am full of power by the Spirit of Yahweh, and of judgment, and of might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. In other words, he was blessed with the Holy Spirit, and he was laying it on him. Verse 9. Hear this, please, you heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, that abhor justice and pervert all uprightness. Verse 10. They build up Zion with blood, and Yerushalayim with iniquity. Verse 11. The heads of it judge for bribes, 78:10. Like they do today. And the priests of it teach, 3, 3, 8, 4, for wages, 4, 2, 4, 2. And the prophets of it divine for money. In other words, they'll tell you what you want to hear if you pay them. Like the pastors today in these mega churches, they'll tickle your ears with their false doctrine. As long as you put money in the plate. Yet they will lean upon Yahweh and say, is not Yahweh among us? No evil can come to us. Oh, really? Verse 12. And you can reference Jeremiah 26, verse 18, for verse 12 here. Therefore shall Zion be plowed, 2790, as a field because of you, and Yerushalayim shall become heaps of stones, and the mountain of the house of Yahweh as the high places of the forest. Those are pagan worship places. When the Romans finally destroyed Jerusalem, they plowed it. Future prophecy. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. In the last days it shall be, that's what he's talking about, the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be set up, 3, 5, 5, 9, on the top of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up from the hills, and the people shall flow to it. That's the last days, okay? New Jerusalem, not now. Verse 2, and many nations shall come. That's the many nations, Israel nations, gathered from all over, and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh into the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Yerushalayim. That's the law. verse 3. And you can reference Isaiah 2, verse 4, and Joel 3, verse 10. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He's going to end war. When the Messiah comes, that's it. He's going to rule. Verse 4. And you can reference Zechariah 3, verse 10 for verse 4. But every man shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, because the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it. After the Messiah comes, there's not going to be any of this persecution that we have been suffering, brother and sister. Those people are going to be destroyed. Because all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his Elohim, the little g gods. That means the pagans. And we, meaning Israelites, will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Elohim, forever and ever. Verse 6. In that day, says Yahweh, I will gather her that limps, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. All these things are in the female gender here in verse 6. Verse 7. And I will make her that limps a remnant, and her that was removed far off a strong nation. And Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth forever. So there's not going to be any more governments. Verse 8. And you, O flock tower, now that was a shepherd's watchtower in Bethlehem, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, and that's a figurative for Jerusalem, to you shall come the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Yerushalayim. And the daughter of Yerushalayim is Bethlehem, which was a suburb in the land of the tribe of Yehuda. The kingdom shall come there. Who's going to be born there? The Messiah. Yes. I love these books. They are so inspiring. They want to get rid of the Old Testament, and the Old Testament testifies of the New Testament. And it's the foundation for the New Testament, and you can't have one without the other. And these fools, oh, we don't do that. We're New Testament Christians. Verse 9. Now, why do you cry out such a crying? Is there no king in you? He's loudly cry out. He's speaking to Jerusalem. Is your counselor perished? For birth pangs have seized you as a woman giving birth. Verse 10. Be in pain and bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman giving birth. For now you shall go forth from the city, and you shall dwell in the field, and you shall go to Babel. There you shall be delivered. In other words, they're going to go out and be captive. There Yahweh shall redeem you from the hand of your hated enemies. In the future. Verse 11. Now also many nations are gathered against you that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. They want to plunder it. Verse 12. But they do not know the thoughts of Yahweh, neither do they understand his counsel, because he shall gather them as the sheaves onto the threshing floor. These nations that are against Israel. Verse 13. Arise and thresh, 1758, O daughter of Zion, because I will make your horn, 7161, that's a symbol of power, as iron, 1270, and I will make your hooves of a war horse, bronze, and you shall crush many people, and I will consecrate their gain made by violence, 1215, that's all one word, to Yahweh, and their wealth, 2428, to the Lord of the whole land. And gain by violence is in a sense of plunder. Yahweh is going to rule. And Bethlehem is a suburb of Jerusalem. And that's where Yeshua Messiah was born. And the kingdom came there. That was a future prophecy of the Messiah. So we have 1 through 4 done. I've got a few minutes. I might just do chapter 5 here. This tells of a ruler from Bethlehem. Get a little drink of water. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Now gather in troops, O daughter of troops. Now gather in troops is 1413, and O daughter of troops is 1416. It's a word play. Gadad Gedud. He has laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod. The judge of Israel is a figure of Messiah. Upon the cheek. Didn't they beat him? Hit him across the face? They sure did. Verse 2 of chapter 5. You can reference Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, and John chapter 7, verse 42. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, 672, that's an idiom of a name for Bethlehem because of the Ephrathites that lived there. You are little, 6810, among the thousands. That's just a little suburb of Yehuda, one of the little towns. Yet from you shall come forth he that is to be a ruler. 49:10. That's a Messiah in Israel, whose origins, 41:63, are from old, 6:9-4, from days of eternity, 5:7-9. He was ordained to be our king from of old. And you can look up Ephratah at 1 Samuel 17, verse 12. And this is a nickname for Ephratah, Bethlehem. Verse 3, therefore he will give them up until the time she which gives birth has borne. Then the remainder of his kinsmen shall return. His racial kinsmen shall return to the children of Israel. That's the dispersed of true Israel will find their true identity. And that's happening now. Verse 4, and he shall stand and shepherd in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his Elohim. And they shall dwell, for now he shall be great, to the ends of the land. Verse 5, and this shall be the peace when Asher shall come into our land. That's Assyria as a metaphor for all the enemies of Israel. When he treads in our palaces, then we shall raise against him seven shepherds. Those are his leaders, and eight princes, 5:2-5:7, of Adam, specifically men of the race of Adam. Verse 6, and you can reference verse 6 in Genesis chapter 10, verses 8-11. And they shall waste the land of Asher, that's Assyria, with the sword, and the land of Nimrod, that's Babel, that's what he founded, Babel, in the entrances of it, and thus he shall deliver us from Asher when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. That's the invasion that's taking place right now in the Israel nations. Verse 7, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew, D-E-W, morning dew, 2919, from Yahweh, as the showers upon the grass that does not wait for man, nor wait for the sons of Adam. 1:20. Verse 8, the remnant of Jacob shall be among the nations in the midst of many people, as a lion, 7:38, among the beasts, 9:29, of the forest, 3:2-9:3. As a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he goes through, both trample, 7:4-9, and tears in pieces, 2:9-6:3, and none can deliver. This is going to be our wrath when Yahweh turns us loose. Verse 9, your hand will be lifted up upon your foes, and all your hated enemies shall be cut off. That means killed. In verses 10 through 15, you can those are Israel's enemies, and also to the ungodly of Israel. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh, that I will cut off your horses from the midst of you, and I will destroy your chariots. Verse 11, and I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds, and I will cut off sorcery, 3785, from your hand, and you shall have no soothsayers, 6049. Verse 13, and I will also cut off your carved idols, 6456, that's like the statues of the saints and Mary, and your sacred pillars, 4676, that's an obelisk, like the steeple on a Judeo-Christian church. And you shall no more worship, 7812, the work of your hands, your idols. Totally pagan. Verse 14, and I will pluck up, 5428, the Asherah poles, 842, from your midst. So I will destroy your cities. And Asherah is Baal's consort, and that's also known as Ishtar, which is Easter. No more Easter. Celebrate Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread like we do. No more Easter Sunday with bunnies and eggs. Verse 15, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the nations such have not obeyed. The ones that are against Israel and are pagan nations and have tried to harm real Israel, they're doomed. That's going to be the end of them. Well, that's about it. I got about 8 minutes. And there's chapter 6 and 7 to do. But I don't have the time to do a full chapter, so I'm not going to try to wing it. I'll do those tomorrow. And then I may very well get into the book of Nahum tomorrow. But we're going to leave it at chapter 5 today here. And Nahum is not a real a big book. It's I'm looking at 3 chapters here, and they're all fairly short. So I may get that in tomorrow. But Feast of Unleavened Bread has been a joy. It always is. I hope you celebrated it at your house, or you went to an assembly. You can keep the Passover and Unleavened Bread at home. You can even do tabernacles at home as long as you sleep in a tent in the backyard and do all your activities outside. You can. That's keeping the feast. And you can all, if you have several people in your community that are Christian identity and they want to gather at one person's house, that's absolutely scriptural. That's perfect. No problem. You don't need to go to a great big thing. He wants us to keep these feasts. He really, really, really does. It's a sign that we are His. And we have great joy here when we do this. We're seeing all the signs coming of the coming destruction of the Babylonian system. And this is just one little way that we prepare. And Yahweh knows who we are. Okay? He knows. If our hearts are with Him, He knows who His sheep of His pasture are. But we're seeing all this other stuff, this vicious foolishness, like this transgender thing. Babylon's going down. It's getting worse and worse and worse all the time. And they try to force this garbage on us. The filth that they purvey. And they push and they push and they push and they push. And they're going to reap what they sow, brothers and sisters. They really don't want to believe in Yahweh's wrath. It would scare them to death, so they just laugh at it. Oh, come on. That's just, oh, that's all fables, and that's all this, and all that nonsense. No, it's not fables, and we're watching the prophecies become fulfilled daily, a little piece at a time. And it's always sad when I see the degradation that our formerly great society, not Johnson's great society, our formerly great nation, a righteous nation, has sunk into degradation. It's sickening. And it was a great concept. It was a wonderful concept. If only we would have remained obedient to Yahweh and kept our Christian heritage and worshiped Him in truth. But the evil ones crept in, as he always does, and he's got his children in here now who are dominating through their illicit practices. They're evil. That's what they do. And this is a continuation of the war in heaven. And we are in the middle of a battle. And it's been spiritual, but it's getting more and more physical all the time. We're seeing the violence increase, especially against our own people. And we need to prepare for that. We need to prepare spiritually, because there's going to be a time come when Yahweh's wrath finally just opens up, and we're not going to be able to live in the cities. They're going to be a hellhole of violence and death. We're all going to have to go out and be in small remnants here and there. And that's going to be rough on a lot of people. Living out in the outback, in the woods, is not easy. I'm telling you that. I have experience with that. That is tough. Because you have no supplies. The trucks won't be running. The trains won't be running. There'll be no shipments. You're going to have to find your own food and clean water and keep yourselves warm. You're going to have to take clothing sufficient for the weather in your area. And that takes preparation. That's when I try to exhort people, get ready. Have a go bag. Well, I'm down at the end of the hour. I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem, and may Yahweh bless and keep all of you. And I will talk to you tomorrow when we'll finish up Micah and do a little bit more. Praise Yahweh. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on the